Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. I hope that you had a good weekend, which included worship of our Heavenly Father. If you have a good memory, you will remember that when we left off on Friday, we were in Genesis 3. Of course, what else is new, right? Genesis 3 and verse 12. In verse 11, God asked Adam, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" And in verse 12, Adam answered, "The woman you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate." Last Thursday and Friday, I shared with you five insights into Adam's response to God. It is the last of these five that I want to return to today. I got to thinking about this over the weekend, and I want to give this further reflection. Okay, for those of you who have memories like mine, that is, we have trouble recalling what was said 3 days ago, here was that fifth insight. What sin makes us realize is that there is only one solution to our sin, and He is Jesus Christ. Another way of saying this is, the greatest problem we have is our sin, and men and women's sin cannot be solved by men and women. It takes God to solve our big problem. And this is exactly what God does through the sacrificial and atoning death of His Son Jesus Christ upon His cross of affliction and great suffering. Christ died to forgive the sins of all who will believe in Him by faith. As believers in the Lord Jesus, our sins are forgiven, and we become new creatures. The chains that held us enslaved to sin are now broken by the power of God in our lives. As the songwriter Charles Wesley put it, our chains fell off, our hearts are free, we rose, went forth, and followed Thee, Thee being Christ. Our boldest and biggest problem that we have no power within ourselves to solve is solved for us by God Himself. The point here is we cannot solve our own sin problem. We are powerless to do so. For the Christian, grounded in the Bible, the answer to the evil and sin that lurks in all our hearts is Jesus. We believe that only He has the power to change our hearts, to transform us from the inside out, so that we can change our behavior. We have the conviction that without Christ as Lord of our lives, no amount of good works that we do, or trying to do better, or being a better me, is going to fix our behavior for the better. The world disagrees with us. Some of those who reject Christ will agree that there is pervasive evil in this world, in this country, but they disagree that they do not have the power within themselves to effect change such that certain evil practices will end. Their approach is to try and change evil, sinful people, from the outside, not the inside. So proposals are put forth for the government to legislate change, rip up old laws and put in new laws, and/or create what are called social justice movements, and get as many people to sign on to the movement as possible. When enough people in a given society do this, then everything will change for the better. Outside pressure on wrongdoers will set what is wrong right. That is the idea. That is the philosophy. But that is not going to work. What I want us to do is to turn to the Lord Jesus Himself. Let's listen to Him and have Him help us to understand what it will take for our nation and our world to address evil and sinful behavior such that this world truly does become a more just place in which to live and in which to raise our children and grandchildren. If you are hands-free, turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 15. We will read Jesus in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 15. As you do, let me just say that for those of you who may wonder where I am going with this, or who really would prefer I just stick to Genesis 3, moving along to verse 13, do not worry. This is no long-winded wild goose chase. What I am sharing with you fits as part of Genesis 3, so please be patient and come along with us and see what the Spirit of God will say to you. It will take me just a few days to do this. And no one is a better use of our time and will satisfy us more than Jesus Christ. So let me set the context for Matthew 15. In this chapter, Jesus once again finds himself in a debate with the Jewish religious rulers, the Pharisees and the scribes. This is very common, and in this reading you will hear what the Pharisees and scribes are so upset about. Then, skipping several verses due to time, you will hear how Jesus answers them in the presence of the crowd. You will hear how one of Christ's apostles, Peter, wants clarity on Jesus' answer. And finally, you will hear how Christ clarifies his truth for Peter. Okay? Let's turn now to the Word of God at Matthew 15, beginning in verse 1. I will read verses 1 and 2. Then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." Drop down with me in the text to verses 10 and 11. After Jesus called the crowd to him, he said to them, "Hear and understand. It is not what enters the mouth that defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth, this defiles the man." And skipping a few verses again, I continue the reading at verse 15, and I'll read to verse 20. This is Matthew chapter 15, verses 15 through 20. Peter said to Jesus, "Explain the parable to us." And Jesus said, "Are you still lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man." I've just read to you from Matthew chapter 15 and the interaction Jesus has with Pharisees and scribes, the crowd and his apostles, the most verbal of which, as is often the case, is Peter. Having laid before you the verses I want to look at, let's return now to the first ones I read, verses 1 and 2. Then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem. Let's pause there. At this point in Jesus' ministry, as Matthew 15 opens, the Lord is in Galilee, northern Israel. And these Pharisees and scribes have come all the way up from Jerusalem in southern Israel to help their less learned and less prestigious colleagues, the Galilean Pharisees and scribes, to keep an eye on Jesus, to correct Jesus, and to be certain and oppose Christ at every turn. They truly are the enemies of our Lord. They hate him and they seek his destruction. This will be a reminder for many of you, but first-time knowledge for others. What we know about the kind of Judaism these Pharisees and scribes practiced is that it was very legalistic. Their religion, like all religions, focused on outward behavior, not the inward corruption of their hearts and their souls. The Jewish religious rulers were obsessed with how things looked on the outside, how one came across in public. But they did not much care about sin and unrighteousness on the inside of a man and on the inside of a woman. As we read the Gospels, we come to clearly understand these are your classic hypocrites. In fact, Jesus calls them hypocrites many times, including here in chapter 15. That is who they were. They preached one thing and practiced the other. They acted one way in public and a different way in private. They had no integrity. For them, it was all about outward appearances and keeping up the appearance of holiness, when indeed they were sinful, evil men. And because of their focus on outward appearance, they elevated their own traditions over Scripture. This last point is very important. These religionists elevated their own traditions, certain laws and practices they invented. They gave that higher priority than the Old Testament Scripture. And they admit as much in Matthew 15 and verse 2. I read this. Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? There it is, note, the tradition of the elders. That is their focus, that is their emphasis. The tradition of the elders was just that, their man-made tradition. Instead of upholding God's law given in our Old Testament, these men reinterpreted Scripture to suit themselves and then developed traditions that were imposed on the Jews of Jesus' day. Their tradition was supreme and was so ingrained in the Jewish people that what God's word actually said was disregarded. The Pharisees and scribes and the traditions of their elders had a corrupting influence in the society all over Israel, and here specifically in Galilee where Jesus was. Unfortunately, we're going to have to stop here soon, but I will summarize this background for you tomorrow and we will explore more verses. Jesus will speak, so you are not going to want to miss it. I hope that this week, as we explore Matthew chapter 15 and the words of Jesus Christ to us, that this will shed greater light on what we are learning in Genesis chapter 3 and the response of Adam to God regarding his sin. So that's my prayer for us as we embark on the week together, and I hope that you will join me again tomorrow at this time and on this station or on this podcast, for God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.